You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hello, and welcome to episode 103 of Atheistically Speaking with your host, Thomas Smith. Okay, so I had pushed off the parent panel because of the shooting and stuff that needed to be discussed with that. And I'm here to tell you that we're finally still not having the parent panel. That's going to be Thursday. I had a special guest to talk more about the France thing. The Charlie Hebdo, but this special guest was very nearby. Not literally nearby, like heard it happen, but lives just outside of Paris, and so had a very intimate sort of view on what happened and the demonstrations that followed. So I thought I wanted to take this opportunity to speak to this listener, and so we're going to do that, and then that should. Even though there's more to talk about with that, there will probably always be more to talk about with the Charlie Hebdo issues. I really love this interview, and I learned a ton. It was one of the most fun, interesting interviews I've ever had. So without further ado, here's the interview. Joining me right now is Stefan. How are you doing, Stefan?
Hi, Thomas. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Now, you had commented on the site. You left a very thoughtful comment, and you mentioned you live in Paris, right?
A small town just outside Paris.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So this Charlie Hebdo stuff was definitely definitely very real for you, huh? It was definitely a different experience than for all of us.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I want to have you on to talk about it and kind of get your perspective, because you had sort of objected to the comments I made about the demonstrations.
Yeah.
Now let's go, if you don't mind though, why don't you take us back kind of through how things unfolded for you being so nearby?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I should say, I'm 40 years old, dude, and I've known Charlie Hebdo for pretty much all my life, because this satirical journal, it started even under a different name, but, in the 60s actually.
Hmm.
So it's been around for a while, and it's very much part of the French culture. So, and I've been, I was not necessarily subscribed, but I was buying it, from time to time, depending on the topics they were treating. There had been a lot of controversy with Charlie Hebdo in the past. If you recall, when the caricatures of Mohammed were published by this Danish journal, I think it was in 2006.
Yeah, something like that.
They were one of the only French journal to dare to publish the caricatures. And so they had been threatened. And in 2011, they published again new caricatures, and they've been firebombed. So we knew. I mean, it was known that they were under threat, but everything was fairly calm. It was the beginning of the year. I was personally just coming back from vacation. The year was starting fairly calmly, and on this particular Wednesday. When the event started, I was working, so I was not necessarily aware of what was happening during the day. But when I came home, my wife, who had been watching TV before I came home, immediately told me about what was happening, and she told me that they killed everybody at Charlie Hebdo.
Wow!
And at first, I did not understand what she was talking about. And then, as you can imagine, we switched on TV and we saw reports of the events, the actual events, and pretty much immediately we had a lot of images. We had recordings because there was another journal, a French TV team, which was working in the building just outside of Charlie Hebdo. And so they were able to capture some footage of the terrorists.
Yeah.
Coming out of the building and exchanging gunfire with the police in the street. So it was very real, very immediately, and we immediately understood, what it was all about. Because now it seems obvious who did it and why they did it, but you have to understand that Charlie Hebdo has always been going against pretty much every sort of authority.
Sure, they're probably a list of enemies, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And to be fair, they had been threatened, might not be necessarily the word, but they were receiving a lot of threats all the time, and they have also been sued a lot of times, and but mostly so far by the Catholic Church.
Huh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, because in fact, as I said, I mean, they started in the 60s, and at that time, that was mostly about the influence of the Catholic Church in the.
Oh, okay, so you mean back in when they started,
yeah,
it was mainly.
But they never really started. They never really stopped doing that. And,
right.
And every time the Pope is going to say something that they deem stupid, they will always. Say it, and usually with their provocative style, and they would be sued by the French church or receive threats from probably Catholic people who were not satisfied with what they were doing. So they had a lot of enemies, as you say, but I suppose in their minds they never thought or they never could imagine that this was going to get real or at that, go so far.
Yeah.
When they were firebombed, for example, it was during the night and there was absolutely nobody in the building. And I'm pretty sure the people who did that knew what they were doing and they did not want to harm people.
They're just trying to scare people.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this time was obviously very, very different.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So this first day was very, very shocking. Immediately, I mean, the reaction in the public was very strong. But what made it so special was the fact that it did not stop there. I mean, and the next day we had a shooting and everybody made the connection. I mean, this time it was targeting a police officer in the street, but it was clear that it was not a coincidence. And then the next day we had another shooting or this other terrorist who took hostages in a Jewish shop and killed four people.
Wow.
And so we realized that this was not just targeting against Charlie Hebdo alone. It was, really a sort of full-on terrorist attack against France, pretty much,
Yeah, yeah. They really had no desire to get out alive. It seems like they were just trying to take out as many people as they could on their way out. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's odd that the one surrendered, though. Has anything more come up about that?
So I believe you're talking about the. I think it was a cousin of the two guys who attacked Charlie Hebdo,
uh-huh.
And this person was mentioned by the police very early on in the investigation, but it was. Also proven very early on that he actually was just a student and he was.
Oh, he was. So there was just the news running away with it because they presented it as though one of the shooters was, captured.
Unfortunately, that's something that's happened during this event. And I have to say I wouldn't say it's the first time, but it's the first time we realize how bad the coverage has been.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
thanks for clearing that misconception for me. Because I read that, one of the shooters, news media is just so, lax now. It just, they run away with everything, especially in something like this where things are happening quickly. But it's just frustrating because it gets, repeated by so many sources that it seems legitimate.
Yeah, exactly. Know?
Yeah.
And even if they issue a, correction, usually the media who are covering it live, they don't take the time to clear things up,
Right.
It's just,
was it someone they just wanted to talk to or like a person of interest or something that.
Yeah, so very early on during the investigation, I mean, almost just a few hours after the shooting, they found an ID card of one of the terrorists. So talk about professionalism here. Yeah. One of the guys left an ID card, and so the French secret services immediately identified not only the guy but also all the connections that he was known to have, and so they mentioned this particular. Again, I think it was his cousin as one person of interest. But okay. At this stage, it was nothing more. And as soon as this person heard that his name had been mentioned in the media, he turned himself to the police, spontaneously and clarified the situation.
Oh, I see.
And this is all we can say for sure. Now, the fact that the French services were interested with him probably indicates that because they were monitoring these guys, which didn't prevent the shooting from happening, unfortunately, but they were known from the services.
Right.
So they also knew about this cousin. But he was clearly not involved in the shooting on this very particular day.
Well, sadly, that makes more sense to me because it seemed curious that one would have just been like, I'm not into this. And, so it seems like I might be a little behind the times in my info. So let me just ask you, how many did – so was it just the two brothers then that were involved in the shooting? Or was there a woman involved or something?
So there were the two brothers who attacked Charlie Hebdo, and then there was a separate person. Or I think at this point we can say a separate team because at the time we speak, the investigation is still going on, but they identified that he had connections and probably logistical support. And one of them was probably his girlfriend. But this other guy, Koulibaly, was the guy who attacked the Jewish shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, something that which is very weird and very strange in this situation. The two brothers, the Qureshi brothers, who attacked Charlie Hebdo, claimed to be sent from Al-Qaeda, and Koulibaly claimed to be acting in the name of ISIS, which is, knowing that these two groups cannot, don't get well, together.
Yeah.
It seems very strange, but...
That is weird. Well, did they claim to be Al Qaeda or I had read, and again, maybe this is more dated information. I thought Al Qaeda had claimed the attack.
No. The we have recordings of the guys in the street claiming that they had been sent and witnesses on the scene of the shooting because they pretended not to kill women, although they actually did kill.
Yeah, they killed one, right?
One, but one of the women, they told her to repeat to the police that they had been sent by Al Qaeda in Yemen. So they really wanted to make it clear, but again, the fact that they were working with this other guy and they were coordinated and. All of this seems very, very, very fuzzy and strange, and some aspects make it look somewhat professional, and some aspects make it look like, unfortunately, these were basically three stupid people who happened to have weapons of war,
right.
And were able to do terrible things with them, but... the fact that the fact that they could forget an ID card in one of the cars, the fact that they could almost drop a weapon. I mean, the guy in the Jewish shop, at some point he left one of his weapons unattended, and one of the hostages tried to, take it and use it against him.
Hmm.
That really didn't seem very professional or, even trained people. Give an AK-47 to somebody and it can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad. Thank you for filling in the information there. Next time I'm going to have to make sure to read more because when I read everything about it, it was, more like a week ago or something. And I took it for granted that information was accurate. But I think I ended up reading a lot of misinformation. I'm going to have to learn from this one. But thanks for filling it in. So, this is interesting. Some questions I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you ever Have you ever found, you mentioned, you know, Charlie Hebdo has been in your life for, you know, a long time, and you've been familiar with it for a long time. Have you ever found the cartoons to be racist or objectionable in any way? I mean, I and again, obviously, it goes without saying. I'll just say it just in case. I mean, obviously, nothing warrants violence against them. But, you know, we just because we defend free speech, which, you know, I very much do, it doesn't mean we always agree with what we're defending. I mean, I agree with someone's right to say that they're a white supremacist. It doesn't mean I'm a white supremacist, you know, that sort of thing. So have you ever found the cartoons to be objectionable to you?
I've been shocked by some of the cartoons, which was precisely the point, but you know, not objectionable in the sense that, you know, not racist or not even, how would you say that, insulting to people.
Really?
Well, something that might require some clarification as well. Freedom of speech in France is, I would say, a little bit more, how would you say that, not limited, but, you know, controlled. You know, there are boundaries to freedom of speech in France, much stricter boundaries than can exist in the States, for example, where, as you said, you can go, I think, even much farther in the States than you can go in France. And for example, we have this notion of hatred or, you know,
hate speech,
or, you know, when you are not allowed to invite to violence against people,
right.
or you know, anti-Semitism or racism are actually...
Really?
Yeah, well, you can get sued for that. And as I was mentioning, Charlie Hebdo had a long story of suit.
Going to ask, while we're on it, I was actually going to ask if any of those lawsuits were successful that you know of.
Very few of them. And I don't have, you know, statistics in mind.
No, of course.
I know, for example, that they've been sued more than 10 or times by the Catholic Church in the recent past, and they never lost against the Catholic Church.
Oh, awesome.
Good record. Yeah, because actually these were very, very intelligent people, and beyond that, these were very good people. The guys were working at Charlie Hebdo, and especially nowadays in 2015, when you think that some of the guys who were killed were founders of the journal. One of the guys was I think 80 years old. Another one was 78 years old. Wow. Which doesn't necessarily mean that he's a good person, but they were very. Very bright people, very intelligent, and they were using humor and you know, sarcasm and satire only to provoke people to think about the issues that they were trying to denounce. And it was targeted against ideas and never against people. To the exception of the Pope, maybe. I mean, I suppose you could argue that the Pope could feel insulted at some point, but you know, insult is not one of these things that is forbidden. You know, as long as it's not racist, or as long as it's not inviting to violence against the Pope or any person, that is something that you're allowed to do. I mean, it's really part of, you know, humor.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, though, because you do – it sounds like in France there are those limits, like as long as it's humor except not possibly racist. You know, it's interesting that there's that limit because, like you said, I mean, we don't have that limit here. Now, it's anything racist gets just absolutely lambasted in public, public opinion here, but I don't think legally there's much you can do. So I'm curious then, because do you know – are you familiar with Chris Stedman?
No.
It's okay if not. He's a atheist, and he has a pretty popular blog, a pretty good following. But he goes by Faithiest because he's particularly friendly to religion and trying to write about getting along and stuff. But anyway, he had an article that I was going to talk to about, and I didn't get enough time. But he had written that he thought the cartoons were really racist and really he just took objection to them, but he said that, uh-huh, you know, you don't have to support the cartoons in order to support free expression. And exactly. So I don't know. So it sounds like you're saying, though, that you don't see it that way, and you think that it's always been in the name of poking fun at the right things that need to be poked fun at. But I think it's just the caricatures, like the Muslim caricatures, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if that would exactly fly over here for some reason, you know, like if there was a caricature for, you know, like Obama that was, you know, kind of racist, I don't think, even if it was trying to make some good point, I don't know that there would be the outpouring of support here that there seems to be over there for Charlie Hebdo. Now, granted, of course, that everyone is condemning the violence. Well, almost everyone is condemning the violence against him. But so do you just not see it that way, though?
No, I totally see where this guy is coming from. And I to a certain degree, I understand that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Honestly, I am probably not entirely objective in this matter. I mean, first of all, as I said, I mean, I've always known Charlie Hebdo, so I probably got used to this sort of humor, to a degree where I don't really pay, you know, much attention to it, or I was, you know, just see. I was able to see through the cartoons what they were trying to say, so to speak. But granted, I mean, if you take it at face value, it was really, really offensive sometimes. But that was really not the point. I mean, the point was really to just identify what they were trying to describe and what they were trying to denounce. I totally understand that some people might get rubbed in the wrong way. And I suppose that was part of their mission as well, was to start the conversation also about that. You know, a good debate is also how we can sometimes make things progress. Unfortunately, it's not always the case for all subjects. But for example, in France, we've had a lot of debate around gay marriage. It has been a fight for many years, and they have been influential. They played their part in this debate, and it took many years, but it was not just them, but they contributed to change people's mind around gay marriage and issues like that. So they were not only about religion, you know, they were about pretty much every aspect of the society. It just happened to, I mean, some people happened to react more strongly and more violently about what they were, critiquing. But they were not going against only religion. They were going against any topic that, to quote somebody, some other guys that I listened to, they were going against anything that made them mad. Or makes them mad, you know. It was, and it was really good to have these guys. I mean, I should not speak of them in the past, because they are still there. They are
right. Yeah,
they are still trying to get another issue out. So
I think they put one out. I know there was a.
They put one, but now the question is really, are they going to be able to, you know, because this one is very special. They managed to just put it out from material that was already available. All they had to do really was to create a cover. Everything else was pretty much already there.
They've lost like a lot of people. Did they lose their entire cartoon staff?
No, oh, they okay. have. They still have a few around. I don't know. I mean, I'm really hoping their spirit is not dead. You know, their bodies are still moving, but I'm really hoping in their hearts and in their, you know, soul, so to speak, they still have it to continue, because we need them. I would say even more than ever.
Yeah. So that as a side note, so what is the state of gay marriage in France? Is it available now? Or
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was just wondering.
It's one of these, you know, one of these victories that let's be clear, it was won over religion, because the opposition was all exclusively religious. So yeah, that's one of these improvements, and we still have a lot of similar fights going on. So yeah.
So now I guess we can get to the you know, your comments on my previous episode if you'd like. So were you part of the demonstration?
Yeah. I decided almost immediately to go. Initially, it was planned on Saturday, but I was glad it was moved to Sunday, because Saturday the weather was just impossible. So that was a good.
Well,
a good
why don't you go ahead and describe it for me, if you don't mind?
Yeah, well, sure. So as I said, I live just outside of Paris, and we have a good public transportation. So I took the train to go into Paris, because it's actually very convenient, and I knew that taking the car on this particular day would be a very bad idea. The very first sign that showed me this day was going to be special was the train was absolutely packed.
Oh wow!
Which is something, I mean, where I live, that almost never happens. Well, I would say only when we have a strike, like we almost never do get a strike in France, as you might know. But the public transportations were free this day, and I saw a huge crowd already waiting for the train. So I knew this was going to be special.
Wow, yeah.
And then the funny fact is this particular train, there are several stations where you can get out of the train to join the demonstration. So the train emptied little by little because people chose to go out at a different station. And when I was crossing one of the bridges across the Seine, I could see people on the other bridges, and it was a little bit surreal, because that was the first time in my life that I was seeing hundreds of people just walking together, gathering towards. Yeah. I'd never really seen that before. And then, we know how to organize demonstrations usually, because we tend to do quite a lot of them in Paris. So they had identified a starting point and an end point. So everybody was, as you can imagine, trying to go to the starting point. And although I was almost 2 hours early, it was already completely packed. So I actually never managed to get to the starting point.
Wow.
And there were literally hundreds of thousands of people like me just stuck in the street. But what was really, really impressive was I wouldn't say silence, but at times it was that. I mean, it was like, really... People, you could tell people were mourning, so to speak.
Yeah,
And also being very, very
respectful.
Yes, that's the word.
That sounds very moving, because I mean, just any group of people, it's almost impossible to for them to be quiet, But that sounds really, that's very interesting.
Well, when I was younger as a student, I did a few demonstrations, and you usually have you demonstrate because of something, you're against something, or you want to get something, and so you're clamoring about what you want. And here it was absolutely different. I mean, from time to time, somebody would shout, Charlie, Charlie. And from time to time, there was the French anthem, La Marseillaise, spontaneously. That was the first time, The only other time you can hear that is when you go to a soccer game.
Sure.
And it's absolutely different. But here it was really about being, one nation, one people. And you could tell that you had a lot of parents with their children. You had a lot of elder people, people who probably had known, bad times in French history, like the war or troubled events in the past. And it was really, really something I had never seen myself before. This energy that was coming out of the crowd, and really, as you said, really respectful and absolutely no bad energy, if that means anything. It was really about being together and being there so that we could count as, you know, one item in this crowd. That was my feeling, my understanding also discussing with a few people around. It was just to show that we were here, to show that we were supportive of, supportive of the victims, you know, that we were joining the effort to tell, to express our support to the victims. And that's it. I mean, it's huge, actually. It's the first time we had so many people. It's historical in France. Huh? We had around 4 million people in the streets in different cities.
Yeah, that is a lot of people.
Yes, that's actually the first time it ever happened in France, that many people.
Yeah.
And everywhere in all the cities, you could see the same images. You know, the crowd was just on the day before in Nice, in the south of France, there was a similar manifestation, a similar demonstration. And you had around, I don't want to say, I think it was 25,000 or 50,000 people walking silently. So not even chanting, you know, the Marseillaise, just walking silently, which is very impressive. You know, when the actual footage, you can only hear the footsteps. And that's,
amazing to be there.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to admit, I wanted to be there to, as I said, show my support or show that, you know, I was supportive of the victims. But I needed to also be with these people, to be part of this nation. I needed the support of my you know, fellow citizens, because at some point, the fact that the terrorists were all French people, you know, they were not coming from the outside.
Yeah,
they were actual French people. They were born in France, and that I think that that was a shock to everybody here. And we were really wondering, is this what we are becoming? And so I have the feeling we needed to be together to just reassure ourselves that, no, this is not who we are. And who we are, it was actually, you know, these people demonstrating in the street and, you know, and there are notions that I might not be able to explain very well because I don't know how to translate them, but there are, you know, values at the core of our nation, liberty, equality, and fraternity. I'm not, is it even a word, fraternity? I'm hoping it's not one of these you know, false friends where
anyways, false cognate or something.
But it's really this notion that deep down, the basis of the French nation is about, you know, being free, being equal, and being all brothers, so to speak, all together and for one another, and not just side by side or against each other.
I think here it's everything's so individualistic here. You know, I think that we may have. I mean, there was a lot of solidarity around 9/11. Mm-hmm. I think that one was such a visual and just visceral, you know, losing, in addition to all the lives lost, just these monumental buildings. I think that kind of drew a lot of people together. But for the most part, I think maybe there are some sentiments you're expressing there that I really like, but I don't know if we have that here. I mean, I think it's so individualistic here, I think. So it's interesting that sort of brotherhood or whatever you're describing. It sounds. I mean, your description is very moving I was going to say protest, but it's not really protest. It's what's the word?
Precisely. It's a demonstration.
Demonstration. Yeah. That's
exactly. Yeah, we're really demonstrating rather than protesting. I mean, I did not hear. I mean, as I told you, I was not even able to get to the starting point. So I spent all my afternoon standing in the middle of this one street. But my understanding is it was the same everywhere. People were just, you know, chanting the La Marseillaise from time to time, chanting Charlie, applauding the police whenever police was passing by, And at some point, you know, a few people were, you know, having fainting, is it?
Yeah.
You know, some people were having problems breathing, I can imagine, because it was like being in a concert at some point.
Although
we were not moving. So from time to time, we had either police or
emergency.
And, you know, the crowd was cheering them, applauding them.
Wow. Well, that must be nice. Do you guys have kind of a better relationship with your police than we do?
usually not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
That was
the first for them. But the fact that three of these guys had been killed and they were obviously targeted. And you know, this is very much France. We don't necessarily have a good relationship, as you say, with our police. But at the same time, it's part of our nation as well. The Republic, the French Republic, is about bringing the Republican peace and not Republican as your political party.
Right,
but it's this notion of the order provided by the Republic. So we need this police, and everybody understands that, and everybody to a certain degree wants it and needs it. It's just that most of the time nowadays we just see them when we get a ticket for speed driving, you know, or something.
Yeah.
It was really, really special.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it. So okay. So have you, has there been coverage in France, or have you heard about any sort of anti-Muslim backlash? Maybe not in the demonstration, because for you it sounds like that was very peaceful and not really didn't have an anti-Muslim sentiment. But you know, I am seeing things like pig heads thrown into mosques and fire, but you know, that sort of thing. Is that getting coverage where you are?
Not very much. But we do hear about it, absolutely, and almost immediately it started. You have to understand that we have always had an extreme right, wing party. We know that there have always been people who are actual racists.
Yeah, of course.
They do exist. They were obviously not part of the protest or the demonstration. Unfortunately, true, they chose to express their feelings differently. It was happening before. I mean, even before these events, from time to time, you had a group of punks who would throw some bacon over a mosque or draw something, obscene. This is going to happen.
Of course. Yeah.
But there has not been any violence, you know, beyond this.
Well, that's good.
I think at some point the worst that happened was somebody threw not an actual grenade, you know, a fake grenade,
like a firecracker or like a.
No, the type of grenade which contains some sort of powder.
Oh, like tear gas kind of?
Something like this. It's some sort of grenade which is not going to harm anybody, but which is pretty much a symbol of what they want to express.
Okay, sure.
Yes, it unfortunately happened, this actual... right-wing party that we have, the Front National, has been fairly silent since last week, and I'm guessing they don't really know how to use this to their advantage. I don't see how they can, because there's nothing they can say that is going to be really different from what they were saying before.
Yeah.
And really what's happened is so different from anything that has ever happened, and is so different from the situation that we do have in France. You know, we don't have terrorists like that. We don't have extremists so much. it seems like now we are beginning to have a few. And again, I mean, it doesn't take much, you know, just a few stupid or crazy people, and seeing how easy nowadays it seems to be to acquire an AK-47. We are bound to have a few incidents like that.
Well, let me ask you this, because it sounds like, based on what you're saying, so this this right wing party you're talking about, is their platform as regards, you know, Islam, is it less terrorism oriented then? Because it sounds like you're saying terrorism isn't really a major concern. Is it more kind of in some ways xenophobic or just anti immigration, exactly. Or is that more their
exactly.
platform?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So far, that has always been the problem. This and religion, I would say, so to a certain degree, but for the wrong.
So you're
reasons.
Saying for this isn't really kind of their focus. It's not like see, Muslims are terrorists. That's not really what their focus seems to be. Because actually, in America, I would say it is kind of that. I mean, it is maybe as a result of 9/11. Most likely, it is mainly terrorism based. Like the right wing. Kind of anti-Muslim sentiment is kind of that they're all terrorists, which is interesting. Yeah. And maybe it's because of I don't think we have the Muslim population that France has, I'd say, as
exactly.
a percentage.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a long history of living with Muslims in France. I mean, part of North Africa was part of the French Empire. Algeria and Tunisia, I think, to a certain point, even maybe Morocco. So we have a long history of living with them, of having done things which are probably not. We don't have reasons to be very proud of it.
Right.
But this belongs to the past, and this is not something we don't really. But it, you know, it's our history, and I would assume this is also something that you carry on with black people and the history of black people in the States. You know, it's although these people did not experience that themselves, but the history is still there. Mm-hmm. But as you say, yes, we have a long history of having Muslim people, or I should say, not necessarily Muslim people. We have a long history of having people from Northern Africa living in France. And we don't necessarily always consider, we don't think of them as Muslim in the first place. We just think of them as Northern African.
Interesting. Okay. Uh-huh. So, but now I know there was like the burqa laws and stuff. Like how does that factor into all this? Is that more of that right wing party or is that the overall sentiment?
This is really about the place of religion in France, in the public space. And this is this other notion that I'm not sure I can find a word for that. I mean, if there's one thing I should have Googled before.
No,
before
that's okay. Talk, that's okay.
Laicity a word for you? Well, it's the notion of separation of church and state, but it goes even slightly further than this. It's really the idea that the public sphere in France should be free of religion.
Huh? Yeah. So, no, we don't have that here. Secularism. Is that what you're going for? Or?
I guess you could. Yeah, you could call it that way. Well, although
do you have? So are you saying there's a specific word for? Because I mean, it's not necessarily religion and government because we do have separation of church and state, sort of. But it's more separation of religion from public activity.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes, precisely.
You guys have a word for that? That's awesome. I wish we had a word for that.
Well, yeah, because it has a very important place in our history. You know, it's really something that I think it's secularism seems to be a good translation.
Yeah.
And it's not about, you know, criticizing religion. It's just about saying, okay, it should be restricted to the private sphere.
Wow. Yeah, we don't have that. So let me ask you, I'm just curious now about French culture because does that factor in whatever that word is? Did you say laced? What was the word?
Laicity.
Does that – I'm curious how that manifests. Like for us, all our famous athletes, for example, every single one of them almost – universally, when they get interviewed after a big game, they have to thank God, talk about God, how much everything's for God, and you know that's why they did everything and all that. Like, is that the sort of thing that would be more frowned upon in France? I'm hoping the answer is yes, but I don't.
Well, the answer is yes, but in that particular case, it wouldn't be because of secularism.
Okay.
It would be because simply we don't. But it's a consequence. Let's say it's a consequence of secularism.
Okay.
But when they express that, it's an individual expressing something that is private to himself. I mean, that is, you know, very much about himself. So there is nothing against that.
I understand.
If he was a public figure, having a politician, for example, thanking God or blessing, calling for the blessing of God, that would be frowned upon. Actually, that would probably cause him to have to resign or something.
Wow.
That's really what it's all about. It's really about making sure that religion is never going to be used in the public sphere.
Well, but then maybe I misunderstood you, or maybe that it's a translation problem. But it does sound like you're talking about government-related stuff and policy kind of.
Yeah, but it goes also, you know, in schools, in all the administration, and also, you know, if you have let's say, for example, in Disney World, in a public space like that, people working at Disney World are also not supposed to show any sign of religion.
Oh, so, really?
See? Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that I can imagine that must be a problem when it now it's making more sense, the burqa laws, and the, you know,
exactly,
because there are many religions which have a very obvious outward appearance that I'm guessing that comes into conflict all the time. Interesting.
And the burqa is the most obvious one, but for example, Jewish kids are not supposed to wear any kippahs within the school. I mean, they are allowed to wear it outside in the street, and if they go to a private school, well, there is nothing we can do about that. It's a private place. But if they go to the public school, they are expected to remove any religious sign.
And so it sounds like, let me ask you this, it sounds like this isn't just a product of that right-wing party you were talking about. It sounds
not at all.
Right, okay.
It's a product of the French Revolution. It's coming from this time when people were being persecuted. So that's the funny part about it.
That's interesting.
This is coming from the time when laws were passed to protect people, to make sure that they were not going to be persecuted because of their religion.
Because that's so funny, because in America it's the same thing. I mean, we are very keen on not discriminating against someone as on basis of their race or religion, and that manifests itself in the fact that anyone can, you know, if your religion says you can have a big ass beard, then you can have a huge ass beard, and no one can really stop you from it. Like, it's funny that it's like the opposite for France.
Yeah. Actually, that's a very good point. I think the motivation in our two countries was the same, but the way it was implemented is slightly different.
Wow. So does anyone ever say, I mean, is there a voice? I don't know if it would be a party or an aspect of a party, but does anyone ever say, well, look, this is unfair against the religions that require an outward showing, you know, like that require certain dress, because some religions don't require it, so they're getting off scot-free, whereas religion Hasidic Jews, certain religions that that require kind of outward appearance, it's unfair to them. Is there a voice that expresses that sentiment in France?
Well, I mean, you will have the Hasidic Jews expressing it.
Does it stop there? I mean, it's not.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it stopped there. Yeah.
That is a major cultural difference, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've lived for 1 year in the States, and yes, I agree that was one of the most obvious differences to me as well.
You lived for 1 year in the States. How long ago?
It was in 2008.
Okay.
2008. I was living in Washington. So.
Very interesting.
I saw Obama being elected. It was really interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you mind me asking what brought you to the United States? Work or
Work? For work for 1 year.
That's really cool. Yeah. Wow, that is I've really appreciated the kind of lesson I've gotten in French culture now. I'm just an ignorant American, but it's very interesting that, so it sounds like the athlete thing, my example of, so that wouldn't really necessarily be frowned upon because it's just someone expressing their view or?
Well, it would be frowned upon by the public because we are so not used to seeing any religious sign nowadays.
Oh, okay.
That we would any time we see something, and any time any of the religions tries to gain some ground, well, the reaction is pretty much the same. It's not just about Islam, actually.
Right.
It's really, really, it's very much about religion. And one of the debate now that is beginning to emerge, but not enough in my view, is the fact that, yes, we've been too easy on religions these last 10 years. I can't recall for sure the burqa or the Muslim scarf. I think it was maybe even 20 years ago that it really started, Islam really started to try to, as precisely like you were describing, they tried to argue that their religion really required them to wear specific outfits and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And although, we stood firm on the Muslim scarf and we stood firm on the burqa and whatnot, but still we gave... And I suppose the politicians were trying to buy some public, peace.
Sure.
And we gave in on introducing religious meals, for example, in cantinas. Mm. At school, which did not exist until fairly recently, I would say. And now it's beginning to, as soon as you give in to something,
it shows
that, it seems to be possible. So why not continue asking? And
especially dealing with religions. I mean, they're going to keep clawing for whatever they can
because they're never going to change their minds.
Yeah. In their mind, everyone should be doing what they're doing. It seems like for some religions and that's, wow. I really kind of want to go to France now. that sounds really cool.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
You should do that. I would be very happy to, open my house.
I will let you know. Yeah, because that sounds so cool. I think in the U.S., I really think the anti-burqa stuff, the stuff we've discussed, it comes across so differently because we don't have that background that you were talking about. To us, that sounds like, oh, they're targeting these Muslims. They hate Muslims. They want, that's what it kind of sounds like, because the idea that the public arena would be secular for America is just crazy. I mean, for Americans, we're just used to everyone professing their faith, and it's interesting because in some ways it's probably shocking how much religion there is. In other ways, a lot of it is words. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. like we're living under, biblical law for the most part or anything. But it is something. I mean, it is symbolic, and politicians have to, even on both sides, have to declare their belief in God. Even Obama, he has to talk about how his faith is so important to him. It's so fascinating to me that the backdrop is so different in France.
Oh yeah, that's the biggest difference. I mean, you could never imagine a French politician saying something like that. I mean,
that is so cool.
That would be the end of his career.
No way. That is so awesome. Yeah. I mean, I read about these things and I hear about these differences, but it's really funny to actually imagine it. Like, I can't. It sounds awesome. It sounds amazing.
but again, and it's funny that to think that the people who founded the United States were actually, historically, some of them were escaping from
persecution.
Persecution, and this is what precisely gave rise to this, fundamental principles in the French Republic. The idea that it was very much to protect and to prevent these sort of Catholics going against Protestants, or Christians going against Muslims, or Christians going against Jews, or what not. And it's true that nowadays, since it's actually the Muslim who are trying to bring back some aspects of religion in the public sphere, every action seems to be targeted against them. But no, it's really against religion as a whole.
Wow, that is very. I can't believe we're already out of time. But wow, I've learned so much, and that really blows my mind. Because I mean, as I said, it's
I'm glad
just,
I could do that.
Yeah, it's just so it's so different. And I mean, I'll these differences I was aware of, but I think hearing you lay it out like that, it really makes more sense. The sort of the backdrop that these demonstrations are happening with. And I'm really glad to hear now, I'm always going to be a skeptical person, so I still would worry about anti-Muslim backlash, but I'm very glad to hear that the culture, as you've explained it, does, it makes a lot more sense now, because I think it wouldn't be that way in America. It's so different, but I really, your description of the movement, or rather the demonstration, was very moving. And I'm glad that it seemed, by all appearances, to be a very peaceful, respectful thing. So,
yeah, it was.
Stefan, thank you. Stefan. Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Stefan, sorry.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed hearing you describe all this. It's really opened my mind to kind of what's going on over there.
That's great. I was very happy to join.